Father, as we come together this morning, open our hearts to receive more from you, Lord. Mold our hearts that we might develop a trust in you as Jesus had for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, last month, the world's strongest men gathered in Paris for the Olympic weightlifting competition for super heavyweights. So men weighing 225 pounds competed in two events. First was the snatch, in which athletes lift as much as they can in one motion above their head. And then the second, the clean and jerk, where they lift a bar up to their chest, pause, and then lift it up above their heads. And it's astounding how much these men are able to lift. The gold medal winner, Lasha Talakaza, from the Republic of Georgia, weighs 403 pounds, and he lifted 562 pounds in the clean and jerk. And just to put that into perspective, that's more than a baby grand piano. And yet, as impressive as these weightlifters were, there's a limit to their strength. Eventually, even Talakaza, the strongest man in the world, was not able to lift above a certain weight. And in fact, one of the realizations we all have to come to as human beings is there is a limit to our capabilities. And that's what happened to the disciples in our gospel reading today. They came to the end of their resources. But Jesus used this situation to teach them, and in fact, then all of us, about how faith works in the kingdom of God. So turn in your Bibles today to our gospel reading in Mark chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 29. Now, Jesus and three of his disciples had just returned from a mountaintop where, you remember, Jesus' transfiguration had taken place. And a little earlier that day, before they arrived, a distraught father had brought his boy to Jesus, hoping that he would heal him. The boy was oppressed by a spirit that caused him to have violent seizures and prevented him from uttering a word. In the absence of Jesus, the fathers had asked the disciples to cast out the spirit, but they were not able to do so. Now, by this time, there was a great crowd who had gathered around them, people who had known this possessed boy for years, and they looked with anticipation, expecting to see a miracle. Now, on the face of it, this should not have been difficult for the disciples. So in Mark chapter 3, Jesus had given his disciples authority to cast out demons. And then in Mark chapter 6, after Jesus sent them out two by two, they cast out, it says, many demons. And so undoubtedly the disciples approached this situation, well, with a certain amount of confidence. They'd done this before. How could this be any different? Sure, we'll heal your son, they promised. But this time it didn't work. In verse 18, the Greek text literally says, they didn't have the strength. They proved too weak for the task. How embarrassing, how humiliating. Why didn't it work this time? Could it be that they were too confident in themselves? Could it be they didn't recognize they couldn't do it in their own strength? You know, we humans don't like it when our weaknesses are exposed. How many of you want to get up here today and just share your weaknesses with everybody? You know, we like to give people the impression that we are more competent, more talented, more capable, more together than we really are. We don't want to admit that we are needy. And sometimes we even lie or engage in deception to cover up our weaknesses. In the 1980s, a televangelist named Peter Popoff rose to prominence. Maybe some of you remember him. He told the world that he was a prophet and a healer. And he traveled around the world organizing these large healing crusades where people regularly found miraculous healing. And he impressed a lot of people as he routinely and accurately stated the home addresses of people and specific illnesses of the audience members, a feat many believed was due to divine revelation and God-given ability. But it turned out to be a sham. During a crusade in San Francisco, crime scene analyst Alexander Jason used a high-tech computerized scanner to identify and intercept a radio transmission that was being sent to Popoff's wife, Elizabeth, who was backstage reading the information which she and her aides had gathered from earlier conversations with members of the audience. It turned out that Popoff would listen to these promptings with an ear receiver and then repeat it to the crowd as they stood in awe. And the sad thing is that Popoff probably had a genuine faith in Jesus. He probably did have a gift of discernment. But when God proved to be too unreliable to be counted on in his ministry, he decided to take things into his own hands and found that he could actually profit from it, amassing a multi-million dollar fortune. His weakness should have led him to his knees. Instead, he put his faith in his own ingenuity. When we don't rely on God, we act under the false notion that we don't need God. We think we have all the resources we need on our own. But we don't realize that this is the very attitude of unbelief. So unbelief is the mindset that fails to acknowledge our dependence on God. Let me say that again. Unbelief is the mindset that fails to understand our dependence on God. And that is what Jesus was pointing out to his disciples and the scribes, and indeed the whole crowd when he arrived. They were faithless because they didn't recognize their complete dependence on God. Without that dependence, there can be no genuine faith. Without faith, it is impossible for human beings to transcend the limits of their strength, intellect, and capabilities. Without faith, all that is real is what we can see with our eyes. And so look around. You know, a lot of us are old. Many of us are getting older. And without faith, guys, there's no hope beyond the grave. This is it. Unbelief is destructive because it removes the power of God from our lives. So in Nazareth, Jesus proclaimed that he was sent to set the captives free in fulfillment of Isaiah 61. But all the people in Nazareth could see was the carpenter's son. He was just the local boy they'd grown up with. They couldn't see the very image of God in their midst. And as a result, they lost out on healings and exorcisms and even resurrections from the dead experienced in other places. A generation of the ancient Israelites missed out on taking possession of the promised land, a land of milk and honey, and spent the rest of their earthly existence in the wilderness because their eyes told them that they were not strong enough to defeat the nations who occupied the land. They couldn't grasp the divine power on their side, despite the fact that they had witnessed this incredible deliverance from Egypt. How much of the power of God do we miss out on? Because we either think we don't need God, or we believe that all that is possible is what we see with our eyes. Faith is power that transcends the limits of human strength and ability. The boy in our gospel reading had been oppressed by a demon since he was just a small child. Human ingenuity had no means to resolve the problem. Even when Jesus arrived, the father was doubtful that even he could do anything. "Help us if you can," he said in verse 22. The man didn't realize who was in his presence. He witnessed the failure of his disciples and assumed, well, their magic isn't powerful enough. But it wasn't magic that Jesus offered them, but faith in his Father and his kingdom of limitless resources. The Father can do anything if we believe in him. Well, the man quickly decided to correct himself. He says, "Well, I believe," but then realized that he really didn't and said, "Please help my unbelief." You know, and that's the first step for all of us if we desire to live a life of faith. We have a revelation of how utterly dependent we are on him, all of us. Amongst the first words in the Lord's Prayer is, "Hallowed be thy name." And simply means that God is holy. He is not like us. We are creatures, and he's the creator. And when we say God is holy, we're saying, "You are God, and we are humans who derive our life from you." And therefore, in times of trials, we trust you as newborn babies must trust their mothers. We are that dependent. But it isn't easy to do that, is it? Look at Jesus' disciples. You know, they had spent almost 3 years with him and still lacked faith. Why? Because in the earthly realm, we don't trust God. We live in a world that does not trust God. And from childhood, we're taught that the only thing that is genuinely real is what we see with our eyes. In the heavenly realm, by contrast, there's no opposition to God. There's complete belief in him. And therefore, in heaven, his will is perfectly fulfilled. For faith to flourish, we must create an atmosphere for faith to grow. In verse 29, Jesus told his disciples that the demon could not be cast out from the young man because it needed prayer. And elsewhere in Scripture, it says it needed prayer and fasting. Spiritual disciplines like prayer and fasting prepare the soil so that God can work in our lives. They build up our faith because they teach us to be dependent on him. So a little over, actually now it's probably a little over two decades now, I wanted to be set free from some demons in my life. And for 2 weeks, I fasted and I prayed over an extended period. And then one day, I was walking around feeling pretty woozy. And I prayed, Lord, I just want to be set free. And I'm willing to do anything to be set free. I'll go anywhere in the world. I'll see anyone. Just tell me, I am ready to go. And I figured that God was going to send me to some famous healer somewhere in the world where the Lord could bring healing. I was ready to pack my bags and head off. And instead, the Lord put on my heart to see the people in the healing prayer ministry of my church. I said, really? Is that what you want, Lord? Are you sure? So I set up an appointment, expecting that the head of the ministry was going to be praying for me. But on the day of my appointment, I showed up, and I found not the head of the ministry, but my friend Jim, and a new member of the healing prayer team who is still very much learning this ministry. And I was disappointed. And I thought for a moment, is this going to work? Really, Lord? And then I sensed in my spirit these words, do not lose faith. I knew God wanted to heal me. I knew that. And as they prayed, I felt the power of the Lord just coming over me. He was healing me. My mind, my heart was being cleansed, and I was being filled anew with the Holy Spirit. And my experience taught me that healing doesn't come from a particularly anointed person. It comes from God. And if we have faith to believe, God can use anyone to be his intermediary. Prayer gave me the faith to believe, even when circumstances did not seem optimal. If it hadn't been for prayer, I probably would have gotten on a plane seeing some famous healer, only to come back unhealed. It's faith in God, not a person, that heals us. Faith is power that transcends the limits of human strength or ability. God wants us to live a lifestyle of faith. He loves it when we recognize that we've reached the point beyond our resources and must rely on Him. He loves it because it's the one point in our lives when we're ready to listen. Otherwise, we live in our own strength. St. James, as we await the Lord to provide us with a new building, it's easy to get discouraged because we see with our eyes. We see low inventory of buildings. We see skyrocketing prices and a lack of resources. If we merely look at the situation with our eyes, it looks bleak. But the life of faith consists of learning to face situation after situation with an adequate or depleted resources so that God can teach us to put our faith in Him, not in our money. Not in our analytical abilities, not in our personalities, not in our networks of movers and shakers, or anything else. God wants to teach us to rely on Him and Him alone. And sometimes he must take away the very things we hold on to as essential to our identity to teach us that he and he alone is our hope and salvation. St. James, let's construct a culture of faith in this important moment in our church history. Let's pray. Let's fast weekly. And let's keep our eyes on the only one who can meet our needs. I have in my pocket here, hope I can get it, a quarter. And on the quarter, it says, "In God we trust." And for most Americans, it's just a motto that they don't even think about it. But for us, this is how we live. We trust in a God of endless possibilities. Amen.